In a few moments, we will stand at the communion table, and I will have the honor of breaking the bread and offering to you the words of Jesus: "This is my body, broken for you." And as we approach Holy Week, after next Sunday or along with next Sunday, I found myself thinking of the times when the church uses matzah, a crisp kind of cracker. The Jewish matzah is an unleavened bread. Or you might use a communion wafer, and when they break the bread, you might hear a crack. Any of you had that experience? You hear the crack in the space, and it can be powerful. And I sort of imagine that crack whenever we say that word: "This is my body broken for you." Today's text calls our attention to suffering, to the suffering of Jesus for our sake and our own suffering when we take up our cross in following Christ and in living authentic Christ-filled lives. In a commentary I studied on this passage, Lamar Williamson Jr. tells us that in Mark, we don't have the story of Jesus going out into the wilderness and encountering the devil. That in fact, Mark gives us the temptation of Jesus in this passage today. Williamson suggests that in Mark, what we see the temptation of Jesus for when he is teaching his disciples that he is going to have to suffer, and Peter doesn't like that. So Peter rebukes Jesus. "No, Lord, you would never suffer," is what Peter is saying. He refuses to accept that Jesus will have to undergo sufferings for our sake. After all, what hero, what leader, what savior is going to suffer? What hero would die on a cross, bloody and broken? That doesn't fit. It doesn't fit for Peter. It doesn't necessarily fit for us. But look how Jesus now turns to Peter and calls him Satan, the tempter. This is, the huge temptation for Jesus, to think that he, God's anointed one, could avoid suffering and rejection and death, and that God's rule could mean power. The temptation would be to think that God's rule could mean power without pain and glory without humiliation. So Peter has suggested you won't have to suffer. And Jesus knows that suffering cannot be avoided. So he turns to Peter and he says, "Get behind me." And he names Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." The passage calls us now to look squarely at the face of suffering. We are called to see that Jesus will have to suffer, and that we too will be called to take up our crosses as we follow the Master, so that we are not exempt from suffering any more than Jesus himself, our Savior, is. And we know there are so many forms of suffering. Harry and I had a good friend diagnosed with a rare cancer, stage 4. And Warren fought with a virulent, a strong, wicked kind of chemotherapy. And as a reporter, he blogged daily about his struggle. He wanted to teach others in a way, but also he wanted his struggle to have meaning. And as Harry and I read what Warren wrote, and as we prayed daily for him, we knew the agonizing effects of cancer in Warren's life and on his family as they stood by him. There was so much suffering. And even as we prayed for his life, we saw how he lost that battle with cancer. That was suffering for Warren and for those who loved him. It was like the breaking of the bread when Jesus says, "This is my body broken for you." Another way I see people living and suffering has to do with Alzheimer's. Perhaps you maybe saw a couple of years ago the movie Still Alice, a movie about early onset Alzheimer's. I read the book also. That's one of the things I do, is read the book and then compare the movie, right? But I found that story compelling in many ways. It was real enough and it was sad enough to bring tears. But it was at the same time encouraging and positive enough to bring an appreciation of the kindnesses and of the gentle humor of Alice and her family. In that story, there was suffering. Just like when Jesus says, "This is my body broken for you." And as we too take up our cross. Another movie you might have seen or might want to see sometime is the one called Selma, which tells the story of the march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama in 1965. And the marchers on that march were seeking to bring voting rights and other civil rights to Black Americans. The marchers crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge outside Selma, approaching a line of state troopers who were wearing gas masks and who attacked those marchers with clubs, with tear gas, with other weapons, and riding horses. It was brutal in 1965. It is brutal to watch on the screen. I read that before the 1996 Atlanta Olympics, Atlanta's Black mayor, Andrew Young, who was there in that Selma march, that he chose to carry the Olympic torch across the Edmund Pettus Bridge on its way to Atlanta for the Olympics. And he said later, "We could not have gone to Atlanta with the Olympic Games if we had not come through Selma in 1965. People suffered. We know that people suffered during the civil rights struggle so that others would have the right to vote, to participate in American government, to have basic opportunities in life, to have freedom. And many of those men and women took up their crosses, suffering in that struggle, because they followed Jesus, because they were Christians and believed God had called them to take a stand. And that was suffering. Just like Jesus, who said, "This is my body broken for you." And we too take up our cross. There are many ways we are called to suffer, my friends, you and I, many ways. Times when we speak up on important issues and perhaps lose friends for doing so. Or times when we grieve the loss of someone or something dear to our hearts. Or times when we bear up under the burden of intense and real pain. The pain of unemployment, the pain of injustice, the pain of illness, the pain of grief. And there are times when we give sacrificially of our resources so that others will have what they need. When somehow our gift of the resources we think are ours can make a difference in the community or the world. Times when we're called to change what we've known and loved, so that the future can be inviting for a new generation. There are so many ways that we suffer, and I would never want to trivialize anyone's suffering, because what causes you suffering is real. But whenever suffering comes, and my friends, it will come, we are called to remember who we follow and what he taught us. For life does bring suffering, and following Jesus does call us to suffer as he did. For Jesus said, and I will say it again as I lift the bread, he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And we too take up our cross. And with that in mind, I would offer you these words, 5. Paul writes, since we are justified by our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. We boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Let us take up our crosses. Let us follow our Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, help us to see all that life brings, the joys and the sorrows, the celebrations, but also the sufferings. And give us courage, give us strength, give us empathy and love for others, that the sufferings may make us closer to one another and closer to you. In Christ we pray. Amen.